Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. We want to thank you for making this part of your day. And good news is, yesterday we finished the things that we don't want leading us. We don't want ungodly leaders leading us to destruction. We don't want to forsake God's leadership, because that's going to bring all sorts of trouble upon us. And we don't want to be led away into foolishness by alcohol. So that was yesterday. Today we are going to look at a much more positive and uplifting passage of scripture. But hey, I'm here to preach the whole truth of God's word. I try not to sugarcoat it or anything like that. There are things you and I can't afford to lead us astray. And so I pray that we would have a great appreciation for the leadership of God and a great disdain for things that would try and lead us to a place that he does not intend us to go. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 57 today. So if you want to turn in your scripture there, if you want to make note, Isaiah chapter 57, verse number 15. And again, this is a passage that we talked about when we were going through our teaching on Isaiah. But verse number 15 says this: "For thus says the High and Lofty One, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him who has a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, nor will I always be angry, for the spirit would fail before me, and the souls which I have made, for the iniquity of his covetousness. I was angry and struck him, I hid and was angry, and he went on backsliding in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways and will heal him. I will also lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him who is far off and to him who is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, says my God, for the wicked." This morning we're going to start off talking about God's credentials. God's credentials. A lot of people want to disavow what God has to say. They want to say, well, you know, that's what he said in days gone by, but, you know, he's really lost it. He's not as sharp as he used to be. And I want you to understand that that's just bogus. God never changes. He never deteriorates. In fact, he never gets better. You cannot improve upon perfection. And so as we go through the Bible and we see the progressive revelation of God, it's not because God was changing. It was because he takes us from precept to precept. He takes us and he brings us to that place where that's as much as we can handle. And then once we have acclimated to that and he has stretched us and grown us, then he takes us to the next level. And then to the next level, he takes us from faith to faith and strength to strength. I want you to know that God's credentials are still the same today as they've always been. He is the Ancient of Days. He is the God of eternity past, and he's the God of eternity future and everything in between. It says here that he is the High and Lofty One. Okay, he quite honestly is, apart from Jesus, he is the unapproachable one. He is the one that we would have no way of reaching if it was not for Jesus, who said, no one comes to the Father but by me. He is worthy of praise and worthy of glory and worthy of honor. He is worthy of our very best. All of creation revolves around his perfection. It revolves at his pleasure. He is the high and lofty one. The devil cannot compare. The devil is a defeated foe. He is a destroyed foe. And every work that the enemy has brought into your life and my life is destroyed because of the omnipotence of this holy God, the high and lofty one. He is the one who inhabits eternity. You and I, we are looking forward to that manifestation of eternity. You know, we get so fixated on the here and now that many times we lose perspective of just how long eternity is. I remember watching a video of Francis Chan preaching years and years ago, and he brings out this really, 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 really long rope, and it's a substantial rope, and he has just a little bit of red somewhere in the middle of that, and he said, compared to eternity, this is an overcompensation of our life, our life being represented by the red and eternity being measured by this rope that was beyond the size of the stage. And he said, and everybody is fixated on this little bitty segment, and they're missing the scope of eternity. It's the same with the test of a 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper that's got a black dot in the middle of it. And the person holds it up and says, what do you see? And everybody says, I see a black dot. And he said, really? Because the bulk of the distance here is a blank sheet of paper. But everybody focuses on the minutia instead of focusing on the magnificent and the bulk, the majority of what is there for us to be seen. He says, I not only inhabit eternity, but my name is holy. I do believe that we have probably swung the pendulum compensated. There are some so concerned about mispronouncing the name of God that they would never even mention the name of God. And now I believe that that pendulum has swung to the other extreme, and that is that we have people who are so unaware of the magnitude of God's holiness that the mention of his name doesn't even bring us into a position of awe anymore. I was watching a little bit of T.D. Jakes here a couple of weeks ago, and he was talking about the mention of the name who causes mountains to move, the mention of the name that causes sickness to be healed, and he went on and on and on like only T.D. Jakes can, and it's a powerful name, but it's a holy name. He's a holy name. God is the one who loves us. He is the omnipotent God, and I appreciate the revelation that comes into our lives because of who God is. But let's never forget, he's holy. Let's never use the grace of a holy God as a license for sinful behavior. Let's just don't go there. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place, but I also dwell there with him who has a contrite and humble spirit. And we're going to see here in just a minute that all of that greatness of God, the majesty of God, the awesomeness of God, his holiness and his purity, all of that is for our benefit. He says, I dwell with him who is a contrite and humble spirit. He said, I deal with him to revive the spirit of the humble, and I deal with it to revive the heart of those who are contrite, those who are pressed down, those who are broken, those who are empty, those who are thoroughly repentant. And now he says in verse number 18, in case you were wondering where we were going, I have seen his ways and will heal him. I am thankful for the healing power of God. I truly am. That no matter what the devil does, God is able to restore. We had an evangelist years and years and years ago, and he said, listen, I do not have to live in fear. I can live in holy boldness and holy obedience, because no matter what they do to me, my God is greater. If they hurt me, God can heal me. If they kill me, I get to go to be with Jesus. And what a great, great understanding. And so today, if you've ever stepped out, if you've ever been hurt, I want to introduce you to the Lord, your healer today. It doesn't matter if you've lived perfect, if you've blown it, if you've missed it. Please understand that God is there. In between verse number 15 and verse number 18 is iniquity. There are people who are backslidden. There are people who, instead of experiencing God's favor, are experiencing his anger. But in verse number 18, he says, I have seen his ways. I have seen his ways. And he said, I'm getting ready to change the reality. Today, I want you to see that he is a God who will heal. I believe that it's going to take a supernatural revelation for us to recognize some of the people that we will meet when we get into heaven, because when they were here on earth, we experienced them in their afflicted condition. We experienced them in their brokenness. We experienced them in their frailty, and none of that will be seen in heaven. What we will experience is people who have been healed and restored and made whole for all of eternity. Those that sickness and disease will no longer have any bearing, any influence on their body. Today, no matter what you've gone through, if you have fallen short of the glory of God, because all of us has, today I want to encourage you to embrace the humility before a glorious, glorious God. Don't try and justify yourself. I don't want to try and justify myself. What I want to do is I want to say, God, I want to be thoroughly repentant over my sinful behavior. And God says, that's a canvas that I can work with. That is a human being that I want to heal. Healing is not just about a broken body. Sometimes it can be about broken emotions. Sometimes it can be about broken and crushed hopes. Sometimes it's about disappointment. Sometimes it's a troubled marriage. And God says, if you will come and you will behold me in all of my glory, and you will come and you will recognize that apart from me, you can do nothing. It says, when you come and you are repentant before me, he said, I can heal you and I will lead you. A lot of times we think about God's leadership as just getting us to a destination. But here in Isaiah chapter 57, it is not just about God leading us to a different destiny, to a different eternity. He says, I want to lead you. I will lead you. I will also lead him, this broken and contrite, repentant, healed individual. I will lead him and restore comforts to him and to his mourners. What if I told you on this Tuesday that one of the many benefits to God leading us is he leads us to restoration? I have attempted to restore several things in my life. I remember attempting to restore a 1968 Mustang. I am not a good person to restore automobiles. I tried. I failed. It wasn't good. It was not good. I eventually sold. I put a lot of miles on a 1968 Mustang. I'm not talking about back in 1968 was I trying to restore that. I was restoring that 1968 Mustang somewhere around 1991, 92, somewhere play like that. It was, well, I had it longer than that. I probably had it in 1990 or something like that. And I remember driving it to Oklahoma and created a lifelong memory with my son on that trip. When I pulled into Oklahoma, it was a testimony of faith that spoke to my grandmother, and she said, when she saw that car in its unrestored condition, she said, that boy's got more faith than all the rest of this family combined. It was not a roadworthy, it was a roadworthy vehicle, but it was not a restored. It was not pristine. It was not a show car. It was a tool. And my attempts to restore that weren't too good. Eventually, we got it to the place where we sold it, I think, for about the same amount of money that I paid for it, but we had got several years of service out of that. And then we moved on to a different vehicle. And I remember seeing it after somebody painted it. And it's like, I never would have painted it that color. So, but they did. I have restored some other things. I remember there's one piece of furniture that we have, and it's an heirloom piece of furniture. And I knew when I looked at that I did not have the technology, I did not have the skill, the knowledge to be able to restore that piece of furniture. But I had a friend. And that friend went and restored that piece of furniture. It had a broken leg, and that person came along and they fixed it. And I'm so very thankful that they did. And to look at it, you wouldn't be able to tell that it had been broken and needed restoration. I have been relatively successful whenever I was restoring a house that needed lots and lots of help. And I needed help doing that restoration project. But the thing about it was, when that restoration project got done, it didn't look as good as the first day that it was created. It looked better. It looked better. So I just described to you three different situations. One was a situation that I was not equipped to restore, and because and my attempts left it looking a little bit better, but not as good as it once had. I described to you a second situation where I invited somebody in, and when it was all said and done, it looks as good as it did when it was brand new. And I talked about a third situation with the help of a lot of people and a lot of time and a lot of investment, that it ended up looking better than it did when it was brand new. Which one are we? Do we want to say, you know what, I'll handle this restoration process myself, because what we will find is that whatever we try and do ourselves without realizing that apart from God we can do nothing, we're going to end up failing in that restoration process. And you might see some incremental progress in one area of your life, but it's still going to be an item that when people look at it, that says that car needs some help. Or you can get it and say, you know, I've asked for some help here, and we're as good as we've ever been. We look good, but if you get beneath the surface, you're going to see that there's a scar someplace. If you look underneath, you may be able to tell, if you examine really close, that it's not in pristine condition, but it looks like there's nothing. You see, there are a lot of people that come to church and they look like everything is all right. It's not until you get beneath the surface that you find out that the restoration is a good restoration. It looks good, but they've got some scars. Everybody that comes to church has some scars. They've got some testimonies. Thank God for scars. You know what those scars mean? It means that God's healed you. But the ultimate goal of God's leading us is He wants to lead us to that place, to where we are better than we've ever been before. When, many, 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 many years ago, my mother had a traumatic health episode. And it left her in a position that she was never the same after that. She threw a blood clot. She ended up losing her leg. They amputated beneath the knee, and they amputated her leg above the knee. And the hospital had someone that came in to minister to her. And as she began to tell my mother a story, my mother said to her, did you go to such and such a school? And she said, well, yes, I did. She said, were you a cheerleader at that school? And she said, well, yes, I was. And she said, my kids went to school with you. You know, this passage doesn't just talk about that God would lead us and restore comforts to us, but it also goes on to say, and to his mourners. That young lady had gone through not an exact situation like my mother had, but God had restored her, and what she had been doing ever since was she was using her testimony to bring hope and encouragement to others who were finding themselves in a similar situation. Could we commit ourselves today to allowing God to lead us, not to where we just relive our pain and our suffering, our afflictions, our disappointments, our hurts and our pains over and over and over again, like that movie Groundhog Day, where it's just another day where we repeat the same stupid thing over and over and over. Could we instead allow God to restore us, make us better than we've ever been before, and use us to bring comfort to those around us? Too many times we get myopic and we think that God wants to lead us and it is just about us. But I want you to understand today that the heart of God is so much bigger. He loves the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It is true that when he was on the cross, we were on his mind. But we need to allow him to restore us because he wants to use our restoration, our healing, the fact that he is leading us. He wants to touch those that know where we came from and say, what did God do for you? I've got wonderful, wonderful people at Merit Assembly of God. We may not be a large church, but I'm telling you what, we have got some of the finest Christians in our church that I have ever encountered. A couple of weeks ago, I preached a message at church, and afterwards a man in my church came up to me that God has saved, delivered, restored, and uses mightily as a blessing, but also imparts wisdom to this man. Loves Jesus. And he said, you didn't go where I thought you were going to go within that message. And he told me what God was sharing with him as I was preaching that message. And so I told my daughters about that. And I said, and my daughters were like, wow, that is a powerful, powerful truth. And I told my wife, and she said, that's a powerful, powerful truth. And I called him and I said, I just want to let you know that what that word that you shared with me was a blessing to me. And he said, well, I just want to let you know that that word that I shared was because of the word that you shared. And God was, let's let God heal us. Let's let God lead us. Because I tell you what, not only will we as individuals end up in a better place, but we as a body in Brevard County will end up in a better place. Let God heal us, lead us, and comfort us. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, yeah, I will sing to the Lord.